gospel lesson this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1-9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up the high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
some 11,000 athletes from all over the world, from over 200 countries, competing in over 300 sporting events in London over 21 days. I want to share with you a few facts about the Olympics. There's a few things that I've downloaded in my research. The Olympics really began back in ancient Greece. Now, when we say ancient Greece, we're talking 6th century B.C. That's 600 years before Jesus even came on the scene. That's how long they've been around. And originally, they started out as games to honor the gods, mythical god Zeus, who lived supposedly on Mount Olympus. And there were games that were played that were similar to some of the games that were played today. The Olympic torch. You know, the Olympic torch is carried all over the country and to the country, to its destination at the Olympics. That torch had nothing to do with the original games. In fact, that torch idea didn't exist until 1936. In 1936, the games were held where? Berlin, Germany. Who was in charge of Germany at that time? Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler used that to celebrate the Third Reich, the rise of the Third Reich, and it was a propaganda ploy to promote Nazism on a national or international stage. So the torch comes from, unfortunately, Nazi Germany, but it's been continued, which means so much more now. The five rings that you see on the Olympic flag, they are not from the ancient Greek games. In fact, they were found on artifacts of ancient Greece, but they had nothing to do with the Olympic Games. And those five rings represent the five major land areas of the world where athletes come from, the five major land areas. And every color in the rings, at least one of those colors, is in every flag in every country around the world. Isn't that interesting? And the flag, the Olympic flag, flew for the first time in 1920. The rings on it, 1920, at the Antwerp Games in Antwerp, Belgium. Okay, so what does all that have to do with Jesus on the Mount, the Transfiguration of Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you this one. The Transfiguration story is about Jesus going to the mountain, Mount Hermon, with three of his disciples. Peter, James, and John. Jesus wants to share something with them very, very special. So they go up the mountain. And while they're there, there appears on the mountain two superheroes of the faith. Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. And while Jesus is there, he is transfigured. That is, he was somehow supernaturally changed in appearance. A bright light, the Bible tells us, shone around Jesus, and a voice from heaven spoke, as I shared with the children. This is my son, the beloved, whom I love. Listen to him. Well, what in the world is Jesus up there with Moses and Elijah for? Well, I think Jesus was trying to make a point to show these very special disciples something very special. Moses, you'll recall, represented the law. The law was given to Moses on another mountain, Mount Sinai, many generations before. And so Moses always represents the law. And Elijah represents the prophets. Elijah the prophet and the prophecies of God. And so there's Jesus there with the law and the prophets. And Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that Jesus is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. That now our focus needs to be not totally on the law or totally on the prophets, but on Jesus, since he is the fulfillment of both. And so as they are there, Jesus, with James, Peter, and John, are afraid. The disciples, when they see Jesus transfigured like that and they hear the voice of God, they are overwhelmed with fear. Peter doesn't even know what to say. He says, let's build three shelters. I think what Peter is trying to say is, let's hang out for a while. Let's stay a while. Let's build shelters. Put up barracks and dwellings or whatever. And stay here. But before Peter gets those words out of his mouth, speaks. He says, this is my beloved Son. Listen. And then Jesus, after he is transfigured and this vision comes to them, tells his disciples something very strange. You would think that they would want to go and share that with everybody, this wonderful supernatural occurrence that happened on that planet. Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this until after I have been raised from the dead. So Jesus had a plan. God had a plan for Jesus. And that plan was to come and keep this under wraps where it would be needed much more later after Jesus left the scene. They would remember this after his resurrection. And so the disciples are essentially given the flag of the gospel to take to all the world after Jesus' death and resurrection. Well, today, we need to know, as Olympic Christians, that the flag, the torch, whatever you want to, whatever you want to use, has been passed to us. We are the modern day 21st century disciples of Jesus. And we have heard the stories of the Transfiguration and all the stories of Jesus and his commission to take the gospel into all the world by whatever means, to carry it and to display it wherever we go. And as we think about the Olympic flag, I've got the rings here today, of course, thank you very much, Nathan. And I'd like for us to think of these five rings as the five hallmarks of the kingdom of God, the five essentials of our Christian faith. By the way, when you came in this morning, you got a card. Anybody got a card? If you did not get one of these cards, you can raise your hand. Okay, looks like everybody got one. Pressure charge. And could you take some cards over to the pressure charge, please? Anybody else did not get a card? Just a little card here that got the 5 points my sermon on. Anyway, I want you to think about these Olympic rings this way. Think about each ring as an essential to the Christian faith, and how we can, by living by these five essentials, be Olympic Christians. The first ring is the ring of justice. Justice. Moses was given the Ten Commandments, 10 holy principles by which to live, both as individuals and as nations. They were the laws and the laws that society would be built around. The prophecies were also about justice. The prophets always talked about how injustices were being done to the people, and how the poor were neglected, and how the marginalized were shoved aside, and how kings and priests were defaming God's name by worshiping idols. And so these superstars of our faith were all about justice. But real justice, the justice that Jesus proclaimed, is found in the gospel message. It is justice behind the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is the story of the man who fell lying half dead in the ditch, and the two religious guys walked by, not wanting to be unclean. And it is a despised Samaritan, a foreigner, a stranger, an alien, if you will, who took the man into his care and cared for the sick man, the poor dying man. That's justice. The rich young ruler approached Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell all your goods, sell all your wealth, and give it to the poor. Jesus was talking about justice to the poor, the marginalized, the most vulnerable in our society. Seeing that the powerless have justice. You see, the kingdom of God is about the distribution of justice. When we talk about feeding the poor, you know, there's more food in this world than we need. There is plenty of food. There is no reason why people need to go hungry. There is more food than we need. The problem is distribution. The problem is getting the food to the people without corruption, without black markets. We've got all the food we need. It's a distribution problem, which becomes a justice issue. Olympic Christians, and this is the scripture quote on your card. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you? To seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's as simple as that. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Which happens to lead to the second ring, which is mercy. Mercy. There is no justice without mercy. By mercy, we're talking about compassion. By mercy, we're talking about forgiveness and second chances. It is at the core of all of Jesus' teaching, parable of healing. Why is mercy so important to be shown to other people, by us, God's people? Because we have been shown mercy from God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 30. Verse 3, excuse me. Says, we have been given by God new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus, God has given us new life, a new birth through the resurrection from the dead, forgiveness of our sins. Mercy was important to Jesus as he spoke to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. Jesus said, you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. When Jesus came down from the mountain, the reason they couldn't stay on the mountain is because there were hurting, dying people down in the valley. There were hungry. There were sinners. There were people who needed Jesus and needed our help, the disciples' help. And so he told them, we must leave. We must go down. And immediately they were faced with the needs of the world. You see, Olympic Christians are those who seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, and have compassion and concern for all God's people. The third ring, the ring of faithfulness. This whole sermon series is based on faith and faithfulness. The disciples' faith was reaffirmed on Mount Hermon that day, when they heard the voice of God reaffirm who Jesus is, the Beloved, the Son of God. Did the disciples' faith waver at any time? Oh, yeah. Did they sin? Oh, yes. Did they have doubts? Of course. You know what? They're not a whole lot different than us. But they had faith, and they put their faith in the one who forgave their sins, and who over and over and over again restored their relationship with God through Christ. Because of God's faithfulness, we can be faithful to God. Psalm 86:15, the key verse for faithfulness. But you are a compassionate and gracious God, the psalmist writes, slow to anger and abounding in love and Olympic Christians are able to persevere through all its challenges to our faith and to our belief system and offer hope to the hopeless because they have hope in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. The fourth ring, the ring of truth. Truth. All religions have their understanding of truth. We understand the truth to be found in the person of Jesus Christ and what the Word of God tells us about God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Truth is the foundation of our faith. It is the foundation of all relationships. If there is not truth, if there is any falsehood, if there is any falseness in any of our relationships, those relationships fail. Without truth, everything else is sinking sand. Truth means honesty, integrity in all of our relationships. Olympic Christians are those who follow the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Olympic Christians are those who understand when Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Knowing the truth sets us free from the bondage of sin, sets us free from those unforgiving attitudes, sets us free from those addictions, sets us free from grief. We can go on and on and on. And to believe in the one who came from the Father, who was full of grace and finally, the ring of love. The ring of love. Without love, all these other rings, all these other hallmarks simply collapse in a heap. Love for God, love for one another. We were created out of love. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. You can't make it any plainer than that. When you speak of love, you have to speak of God, because God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He created us out of love. He created all that is, was, and will be out of love. We are forgiven, redeemed, and saved out of love. We are given His Spirit, the Spirit of truth and love. Jesus, before He left His disciples, said, I give you another commandment. I like to think of it as the 11th commandment. What did He tell His disciples to do? Love one another. Love one another. Verse in John 13, 34. The ultimate mark of an Olympic Christian is what? Love. They shall know we are Christians by our love. Question is, how do we express that love to one another, to the poor, to the marginalized, to the vulnerable, to the powerless? How do we love? In closing, I just want to say that we begin to stand on an Olympic podium of ideas like the 1980 hockey team. We may never have win silver or gold or bronze. We may never even stand on a mountaintop and have a mountaintop experience like the disciples did. But we can be transformed. Paul said that our minds need to be renewed, conformed to Christ and not to the world, and have our minds renewed and transformed. Olympic Christians are Christians, followers of God, who bear these five essentials, these five rings, as the parts of our faith, but not only our faith, but our practice and what we do. It's one thing to believe and to give assent to. How do we put it into practice? How do we live it out through our hands, our voice? Transform, Jesus called us to be His swifter, higher, and stronger disciple, willing to take the good news of God's love wherever our coach Jesus leads us. That's the challenge of this life. I don't know whether you're a brand new Christian or whether you've been a Christian all your life. These five things, our faith, I believe, what Jesus was all about. So the next time you see those five readings on television, or on your football game, or on the McDonald's wrapper, or whatever, what are you going to think of? You're going to think of these five things. Keep this little part in your wallet, the purse, maybe stick it up next to your mirror, or the bedroom, or the bathroom. Just be reminded of the essentials of our faith. And be an Olympic Christian. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that is here. Thank you for your Spirit that will go with us when we leave this place today. Lord God, we just praise you for the opportunity to preach your word, to hear your word, and now, Lord, put it in practice. Thank you for making us a questions.